You're listening to T&M Coaching Unplugged. T&M Unplugged features the diverse perspectives of a thriving global community of coaches, leaders, and experts. And it's all for you.
Welcome, everybody, to T&M Unplugged podcast. This is the space where you elevate your heart, you elevate your mind and your soul and your spirit to the next level of yourself. The space when you grow, evolve, and you become a best possible version of yourself through these powerful conversations that we have in this space. Today, I have a very dear friend and collaborator and partner in crime, in coaching, the global humanity. We have Jonji Olomola joining us today. And let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a wonderful leadership and organizational coach. She's also an entrepreneur. And she has also transited successfully from cross-functional leadership businesses that she has been part of for a very, very long time. In her previous life, she was responsible for building resourceful teams, for creating successful transition in leadership roles. She has also worked with the customer relationship management. She has set up international communication and drive organizational success. So she has this big and wonderful experience from business and corporate world behind her. But not only that, she is also a powerful coach. She is somebody who has trained and facilitated workshops across Africa and also world. And she is also coaching individually people to become the best possible versions of themselves. And she's also conducting group coaching sessions as well. You know, her specialties are transformational leadership, personal and professional development, leadership coaching, executive presence, career and life transition, coaching skills training. She's also good in getting people to become very, very powerful coaches as well. And also building resourceful teams and performance management and mentoring. So she is this multidimensional being of light who is joining us in this conversation today. And today we're going to talk about something dear and near to both of our hearts, which is imposter syndrome. How can you overcome this? How can you be that person who steps into their power and feel full confidence and presence? So welcome.
Hi. How are you, Zoran? So glad to be joining you.
I'm really, really good and very excited about our conversation today. We were making this for quite some time and today is the day, right?
Yes, it is.
So tell me, you know, we were talking about what are you currently passionate about? And you told me that you're working with imposter syndrome and you're empowering women specifically to overcome this. And I was like, yes, you know, the feminine energy is so important on the planet right now at this moment in time. And this is something that we really need to address and talk about. So where would you like to start? Why is this topic close to your heart at this moment in time?
Excellent. I think, you know, it comes out of a personal experience when I had a transition from middle management, you know, in my former life into senior management. And literally from a Friday to a Monday, I moved from sitting across people who were my colleagues to being their boss. And it was such a transition that I wasn't prepared for. Yes, you know, I had read about it. I was looking forward to it. I had been working hard, you know, over 5 years, and it happened. And I just didn't know how to navigate. And for about a month, literally, I was scared of the phone ringing that my, you know, the MD was going to call. And I even had the speech prepared in my head that I was going to say, Yeonju, you know, you're excellent. You know, you're a talent that the business, you know, wants to keep and grow. But I think we promoted you too fast and we're bringing in someone that you will sit with, you know, for a year. Your position is intact. You know, we'll just, you know, give you another title and what have you. And every day I would show up in the office. I would appear to be working. I was working, but I knew that this wasn't who I was. And it got to a point when I was just like, you know what? I can't continue like this. I really couldn't say anything because, I mean, I'd just been made the head of a function. I was probably the youngest person at that time. And in the leadership team, it was just two women, you know, sitting with about 12 other men. And for me, it was a case of, okay, how am I going to say, I don't know what to do, or I'm feeling this way. I feel I'm a fraud, and you know, you've actually found me out, and you're just going to boot me out. So I reached out to someone very dear to my heart. It was my pastor, and he also ran a business, and I knew he knew people, and I was very specific what I wanted, that I wanted a woman who was either at the peak of her career or very close to it, accomplished, had managed teams and understood what management and leadership was all about, was a wife, not necessarily a mother, but that could be a bonus because, yes, I was married, but I didn't have kids then, and I wanted to talk to the person. So he set up a meeting, you know, when he listened, you know, I was like, okay, I think I know the person. I set up a meeting with, but then she was the chief executive of a bank, Stanbic IBTC here in Nigeria. Now, I mean, she's on the global scene. And incidentally, she's actually on the board of Coca-Cola Hellenic. So set up a meeting with her. So I came in, you know, was talking to her, explaining what was going on. My voice was shaking and she listened. And then she said, business didn't make a mistake. Did you say Coca-Cola Hellenic? They did not make a mistake. So, you know, get that straight. And it was a life-transforming moment. I mean, I really can't remember the rest of the conversation, but just the initial words she said that it wasn't a mistake. And I actually internalized that, you know, it was not a mistake. I worked hard for this. I deserve it. And I was able to go out, you know, with that. But I also noticed, you know, over the years, I would, you know, deal with situations where I got something that I deserved. Maybe I transited, you know, successfully. I moved from communications to core operations to sales. And at some point I was thinking, oh my God, something is going to happen. They're going to tell me that, you know what, this was good. Either go back to your former role or maybe you'll find something else. And I realized that, you know, a lot of people are also going through this. And let's fast forward to last year. I mean, literally, I was sitting and working and I feel, you know, feelings of inadequacy creeping up. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then I realized that, hey, this syndrome is creeping back up. And I couldn't understand where it was from. That's when I knew I'm going to tackle this as a group coaching program, amongst other things that I'm doing, and really explore and, you know, help people accept who they are, accept, you know, how great they are, and celebrate it. Yes, we know we're not perfect, but celebrate who you are. So that's how I got to this.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, amazing story to start with. I have to share, you know, and comment a little bit. I had the same thing. You know, if I look back into my career and my development, when I've started coaching, I was one of these youngest coaches and youngest trainers in Europe here where I'm sitting. And yes, I had confidence. Yes, I had passion. But, you know, I was in a situation when I was coaching people who were in their late 50s, even 60s. And at that time, I was 26. And all the time, and every time I would be showing up at the coaching session, I would think, they will find out I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You know, they would find out that I don't know actually anything about anything. And it was this nervousness behind me because it was this, they will find out that I'm not actually competent. And for like, for you, for me at that moment in time, I had mentor coach and she was in her 60s and I loved her and she was a very powerful and strong mentor. And I showed up in a coaching conversation with her and I was sharing this with her and she told me something that I'm never going to forget. She said, they are in relationship to you because your energy. It's because who you are and not only what you know. And if you only trust yourself and you trust this coaching process, you will be fine. And that was this one of these defining moments when I summoned the courage to show up and to really own myself and my leadership and not to be worried that because I am not what I think I am, somebody else will see that I am not that person. So this is a very interesting topic and conversation because I know many people have this and many people in the background of their mind, right? They're living this story that is behind. They're not adequate enough. They're not who other people perceive them to be. And it kind of defines the story in the background.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does. Mm. Yes, it does.
So what do we do with this? What was your journey with it? You know, how do you manage this, play with this, you know, coach other around this? You know, what is your take on all of that?
Yeah, I like what you said earlier about your experience, you know, with your mentor coach and what she said about, you know, your energy and who you are. And that's something, you know, that's been playing in my head. And actively, I've also been, you know, working on it and just reading up and observing people. And I came up with this statement that what we do is a reflection of who we are. But most times we define ourselves by what we do, you know, the externalities and our jobs and, you know, external acclaim and what have you. And I think it's going back to discovering who we are. It's going back to understanding, you know, who we are, that we are worthy as we are. And it's not dependent on what people say or what we even do. First and foremost, that's, you know, I was reading a book by Tara Halliday, and it's a book for coaching this particular topic. And, you know, she was talking about the principle of unconditional worth. So you are enough in yourself as you are. So it is not dependent on what is external to you. It is not dependent on people's approval or opinions, and it doesn't take anything away. So for me, it's discovering who I am and realizing that, you know, in myself, of itself, I am enough. So what I do should stem from who I am as a person. So it's still a journey I'm on, and just really accepting myself and owning my voice and realizing that, you know what, this is my life. I love it. I love myself, and operating from that, you know, space. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was getting my ICF credential, the ACC, I mean, I prepared for it. I had gone through my teaching, you know, my notes from the program. I had done two coach training programs, one with a very dear friend, Lisa Wynn, and also another one in the UK. So I'd gone through my notes. I was super prepared. And I was like, you know, I'm gunning for 90%. I knew that, you know, yes, I will gun for 90%. I had planned how I was going to celebrate. Did the last bit, the CKA, the coach knowledge assessments, and, you know, the results come in almost immediately. You see where you are. Yeah. I think the pass mark then still is 70, and I got 84.5. I spiraled, Zoran, at that point, because it wasn't 90. And everything I had planned just went out the door. And I found myself slinking about the house. I couldn't say anything. I felt, oh my God, I have let everybody down. But what was the truth? I passed. But I was so fixated on the fact that I was 4.5 points away from my target. It just clouded everything. Those things. And, you know, now going back to this syndrome, it's about you accepting, you know, your accomplishments and the fact that you deserve what you're getting. You're there preparing for a program, you've studied, you put in all your best, and you do get it. And all of a sudden, a thought comes to you to say, you could have done better. And you hold on to that as the truth, when in actual fact, you did good. So it's really, I mean, for me, it stems from, you know, knowing who I am and acknowledging who I am, and also acknowledging and celebrating my accomplishment, mm-hmm. knowing that I'm on a journey.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just shared. I think this is so empowering for people to hear that, that the mm-hmm. self-worth comes out of you and who you are and what you are. And that self-worth is reflecting through your personality, and your job is just a reflection of that. And also, you know, what I'm hearing is that a lot of us, you know, who are overachievers and who really set the high targets of what we really, really want to see in our life, suffer a little bit because of that, right? Because I'm same like you, you know, I usually set the targets so high, 90, 95, 100, then 80 happens. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. But a matter of fact is you have, right? You passed and you're good and you're good enough, right?
Yeah.
So that overachieving, you know, let's look into that a little bit for both you and me, because we're in the same kind of profile, let's say it like that. Where do you think that comes from in your life?
I think it's a sum total of so many things, you know, education, family, culture, backgrounds, and, you know, our journey so far. So if you come from a background or a culture or a family where you are rewarded for achievements, so there's a clear-cut, you know, delineation with if you're among the top three, then you're a great person. And if you're not among the top three, you just do the maths. I'm not great. So you've conditioned, and we've conditioned ourselves, you know, to say that for me to be as a person, for me to earn a right to stand, you know, amongst people, then it has to be, it's synonymous with, you know, what I do and how well I do this thing. So I'm striving to be the best in the class at all times. If, you know, in a class of 50, I am the second best. Honestly, I have a horrible time because I'm not number one. It just shows up. It's like, you know, there was a time I picked up patchwork quilting. And for me, it's about how do I make the hand stitches in a straight line that if you put a ruler to it, there's no deviation. Oh, for crying out loud, stitch and just do your best.
Exactly. I'm in the same space. Just do your best and don't be perfectionist on a certain level. And you're absolutely right. This overachieving, it's a combination of our training, basically, that comes from our society, from our parents, from our educational system. Somehow along the line, we bought into that story that we do need to overachieve and we need to be among these top three. And if you're not, then something is wrong. And I think that's one of these myths that we have to break from and liberate and free it up in ourselves. And then in everybody else that we're interacting with, that as the very fact that you are who you are is good enough. And the achievement doesn't need to be categorized in the way that scaled, you know, so that we can identify with and benchmark ourselves against it. But it's just somebody created that scale at one point in time. You know what I mean?
It's hard to deviate from it. Very hard.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about women in this space, because, you know, when you and I were preparing and talking about it, you said that you're really passionate about getting women to kind of really overcome this. Why do you feel it's important for feminine energy at this moment in time to evolve, you know, from this syndrome into something else?
Right. I think, you know, as women, we are having to peel through more layers than men. But incidentally, you know, through research, the syndrome or this phenomenon affects both male and female. But I guess, you know, for the women, it's like a double whammy because we're experiencing something. We may not even understand what exactly it is and we can't speak out. So, you know, we're being hit on different levels. So, I mean, if I look at my culture and my background, women are meant to be, you know, in the background, and we have already prescribed professions, you know, that we're supposed to going for or going to. We're not typically found in certain professions, you know, like engineering and all those heavy duty professions, you know. And in some parts of my culture, the African culture, girls aren't even sent to school. So it's taken decades and centuries of changing those belief systems that a child is a child, regardless of the gender, and they have unique contributions, you know, to the world, to the society, to themselves. So you need to empower both equally, whether it's a male child or a female child. So for women, you know, like I mentioned, there is so much, you know, that we're having to deal with. And even when, you know, you are able to burst through all of that, there's this, that conditionality, you know, going on that, you know, right, even if you go to school, even if, you know, you get an education, you're still going to end up in someone's home. you know, and that is like, you know, this is what your life is going to be, you know, rare, bearing children and making a home, and that's it. So you're having to deal with, you know, societal limitations. You're having to deal with also family expectations and, you know, family limitations. And also you take that into the workplace. There are certain things that, you know, are expected of women. So you expect to find women in certain roles, more the support function roles, as opposed to core roles or core strategic roles or, you know, decision-making, you know, roles. So that is all that is that we're being, you know, hit with. So right now is, you know, first and foremost, people realizing that, you know what, leadership or attaining heights is genderless. It is not, you know, this exclusive right of one gender or the other. So it's about, you know, having people break through all those limitations, all those norms, and realizing that, you know, first and foremost, you are enough as you, you know, as who you are, regardless of your gender. And you then break through all those specific limitations around you.
I love what you said, that leadership is genderless. You know, I can also see that, you know, the conditioning a woman and taking so much roles and responsibilities would put her more in, under the pressure to overcome this in imposter syndrome and to really own all the roles and responsibilities. You know what I mean? I can see it in my life, you know, even here with my wife, with the colleagues that I'm collaborating with. I can see this spectrum of the responsibility they're carrying. And it's true, you know, I'm a man, but I can tell that women on a certain level are much more capable of doing that. But at the same time, you know, they do have this pressure on them, and they somehow are put in a position that when they have to prove themselves, you know, prove worthy or prove that they can deliver, and they can be put in this situation when they're truly a powerful decision maker. And I think actually, from my perspective, we're getting into this era of women in leadership, and I think it's going to be much better. Women take responsibility and make decisions, as far as I'm concerned, not to kind of put it onto them. It's not like dumping, now you make choices. It's more like, you know, this feminine quality takes everything into consideration. It's much more inclusive. You know, when I was sitting in the meetings with the guys and the women, and women speak, they're much more holistic in their approach. They're much more inclusive. They take things into broader and wiser perspective, instead of men being much more focused on the outcome, on the result, and the short-term thinking, on the strategy, on the goal, on the profit, without taking everything else into in account. You know, the women, because of that traditional family care, they take everything, and dogs and pets and flowers and plants and business and husband, and then we make a decision in a holistic way. So that's why I believe that that feminine leadership is absolutely and totally necessary. And for them to be able to step into that power, they really need to overcome this. They need to be able not to be having this imposter syndrome running behind, right? And kind of defining their actions or thoughts.
Yeah. Fully agree with that. Fully agree. And, you know, just, you know, picking up the last thing you said, that not allowing this syndrome to define or decide the kind of actions that they're going to take. Yes, we do know that, you know, it's there. For some people, it's there in the background and they're having to live with it. I personally think that, and I echo the words of a lady, her name is Valerie Young, that it's okay to have an imposter moment, but not, you know, live with the syndrome. Because yes, you know, feelings, I mean, we're human beings, we would always have feelings and our feelings will go in different directions. So you can have that moment that is fleeting, but you need to also have trained yourself or have developed yourself in how you manage and restrict those moments being fleeting moments where you know what to do to be able to, like, you know, overcome it. So it's not debilitating and it doesn't prevent you from reaching the heights that you set for yourself.
Beautiful statement from Valerie. The moment is important because it also gives us a reality check and mirroring, right? So we map ourselves around our own expectations and what's happening in the world. So I love that. I love that we need to have the moment, but it doesn't need to be something that is carried out as a theme in your life. So let's get a little bit more practical now. You know, when it comes to you coaching or me coaching or us supporting people, in being able to overcome this, to have those moments, but not to carry those moments so that it defines their life. It defines the how they think, how they feel, and how they act. What are some of the ways that you're practicing for yourself? And then what are the ways that you are supporting other people through this in your own work?
Right. I think, you know, first and foremost, because I'm a big proponent of self-awareness and people understanding who they are, how they think, how they show up, how they learn, you know, even as little as, you know, the way you learn as a person. And understanding that your values as a person, knowing that, and once you have, you know, a good understanding of who you are in this world, then, you know, you then now look at, you know, what are your goals? What are you aiming after? And go after it. Now, we do realize that, yes, I think, you know, in the process or in this phenomenon, it's not so much about you attaining those goals. It's when you do attain those goals, and there is even an inkling of acknowledgement and people focusing on you, that's when, you know, the feelings come that, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. they're going to realize that, you know, I'm a fluke, and everything you have done, all the hard work just gets dumped, you know, in a drain, and you appear to be left with nothing. So it's also realizing that these feelings or these thoughts are exactly what they are. They are feelings and their thoughts, and they're not, you know, representative of who you are. And, you know, for me, there's something that I learned from a friend in Kiru about 3 years ago. And it's about, you know, every year keeping like a sheet of my achievements, what I've done very well, and, you know, things that I still need to work on. And it's so empowering, you know, when I'm able to log little things, but not, you know, it's not that, oh, I got PCC, not just that, but little things. I walked consistently for 100 days. I participated in this, or I started my blog, and just keeping an account of that. So when I'm having those feelings where I'm thinking, oh, gosh, what have I done?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can look into it.
What am I doing? I look into the things that I've done and then speak to myself. So it's around, you know, self-awareness and also understanding my identity, who I am as a person, and then accepting myself, accepting who I am, accepting the journey that I'm, you know, on, and learning how to reframe, you know, these words or these thoughts, you know, that come. And so I have like a plethora of, you know, things that are working for me. I have circles, I call them my circles of strength, you know, so if I'm feeling anyhow, I have friends that I can, you know, talk to, and, you know, they just like help me shape up, yeah. And, you know, tell me the truth. So I just relax. Then I have like a little log where I, you know, keep all my accomplishments and, you know, the things that I have done. And then affirmations, you know, telling myself, I remember, you know, some years ago, every morning before I stepped out the door, I would tell myself, I'm a woman of great worth, and, you know, allow that to sink into me. So it's not based on people's approval, but the fact that I'm existing, I am worthy, I am valuable. So I go out, you know, and show up, you know, with that. So those are some of the things that, you know, have are helping me. And what are, you know, these are some of the tools that I also, you know, work with, you know, my clients in them understanding themselves and what are the things that, you know, can help them. Journaling also helps me. And, you know, having something that I'm grateful for, or 3 things or 5 things that I'm grateful for on a daily basis. And I, you know, I write that down. Simple things. So I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm grateful my kids, you know, are in, you know, they're now in in-person classes. I'm grateful I had coffee with a friend I hadn't seen for a year today, you know, and little things. Yes, there's just something about gratitude that opens up your perspective, your life, and you see things clearer.
Mm. I am practicing all of that, but isn't this amazing when you create space and time in your life to do these little things that sometimes we put aside because we get too carried away and life takes over, you know, our business or our life or our family, that we don't create the space for acceptance, the space for gratitude, the space for journaling, the space of logging your accomplishment. I think that's such a lovely thing to do through your life and through your work life, to log in things that you have done really, really well, to look back into it and say, look at that. I mean, really, I mean, you know, this was a tough year, for example, for all of us. Look yes. what I've done, even in those circumstances, to be able to empower you, you know, when those moments come and you're doubting yourself, you're questioning yourself, and this self-doubt kicks in and says, are you good enough? You're not good enough. You're not as good as you think you are. You're not really, you're a little bit like a failure, but you're pretending that you're successful and the show is going to go for some time. And then eventually the curtains are going to be down and everybody is going to find out that you're not that good. I think when you do those small practices that you have described to the listeners, you empower yourself to really be in that strength all the time and to have the moments, but not to have the whole journey into it. I love what you shared. I think it's a really, really wonderful thing. Yeah. For me, you know, I can just share with the audience, self-acceptance was the big one. That when I was being mindful and aware of who am I, you know, and what are my core strengths, what are my core weaknesses, where am I really good, and where do I need more work, and to accept all of the parts of myself, really realistically, to just look into me as I would be looking for a friend or a coaching client when they will ask me for the feedback. That really helped me out tremendously. And I was like, I love you and accept you, who you are and what you are, with everything, with all of your imperfections, right?
Yeah.
All your imperfections are included inside of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And you know, just keeping little mementos. I remember when my kids were in primary school, they had this little cards that they had done, the world's greatest mom, and they addressed it to me. I've got twins. And you know, just keeping, I bring them out, you know, from time to time, that two people in this world think I am the greatest. That's enough for me, you know. So honestly, just find, like you said, you know, come alive and keeping them where you can see them from time to time.
So few closing thoughts, because we're already up at our time. I mean, when the conversation is powerful and palpitating, the time flies. So where would you like to leave our audience with? Yeah, I know you shared a lot. You shared the, you know, what it is. We defined it. We looked into it. We shared our personal stories about it. We humanize it so that we everybody has it. We define it that it's okay to have that reflection. Yeah. And we gave practical tools to everybody who is listening right now to kind of work with it. What will be your closing thought around all of this? Where would you like to leave audience with?
First, that, you know, every single person, you and I, we're enough. And so it's about accepting, owning, and celebrating. I would really emphasize that, celebrating our own uniqueness and our accomplishments. Take time out to celebrate yourself. I think we don't do that enough. You know, I was in a reciprocal coach training, coaching program, and the lady was saying, you know, how often do you tell yourself, I'm good? And she was like, say it with some real pizzazz, I'm good. So from time to time, tell yourself, wow, you're good. You are good. Yeah,
I love you, and I love that, and I love the pizzazz of it. I'm good.
I'm good.
Good. I love that. That's really, really cool, isn't it? And you yes. own it. You walk it. You wear yes. it, right? Thank you so much for coming to this podcast today. It was such a joy and pleasure to have you, and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And I hope we're going to record more of this. And for the listeners, thank you so much for listening. You remember, you're good, right?
Yes. Tell yourself every day, I'm good.
Enjoy. See you soon on the other recording. Bye for now.